think it was time to call the Jobs and Economic Development Committee in order. And if I bang that too loud, it might just see that I can't hear anymore. So,
right.
Just ask my children and my wife to tell you how bad I am getting. I want to kind of let people know. I've had some conversations with the bonding chair, and we're still in conversation. So we'll be holding all bonding bills in this committee until we get word from the bonding chair that she does or does not want them this year. And what we will do is we will rank them as we send them to the bonding committee. So we'll have a hearing on that to talk about it and meet and kind of lay that out. But we'll do it all in the committee process, so to speak. And then if she chooses to have whatever bills come to her, we'll send them. I don't know, none of us know what size bonding bill we're going to do this year or if we're going to do a bonding bill. So it's good to get them done this year. So if the bonding chair wants to signal how much she likes your project and gets out and takes a tour of your particular project, if there's not a bonding bill this year, you might want to make sure you lobby the bonding committee to come down and tour your bonding project. That might be a good hint. Representative Norton, yeah. I mean, the Newton.
Thank you.
At least I'm not calling you Mueller.
Do all bonding bills that involve jobs come here? I'm thinking, for example, transportation projects.
Typically what happens is the two chairs have a conversation, and if it's definitely more one than the other, it typically only goes to the one. But if there's some ambiguity, just call me George Bush.
Good.
They'll go to both.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, seeing no other questions or comments, I'm going to have Representative Ward move his bill. And I think we have two testifiers. Is it Teresa Goble?
Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie Cumberland? Good. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I'll move House File 110 to be laid over for possible inclusion into a omnibus jobs and economic development for bonding projects.
That'll work.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Could you explain your bill a little bit and then have your testifiers?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Thank you. So, members, thank you for hearing this important bill to our area members, to the Brainerd Lakes area. This is House File 110. It appropriates $150,000 to our current civic center in the Brainerd area. Members, I just need to tell you just a little bit about our civic center. We're not asking to build a new civic center. We're not asking to expand the civic center. All we're asking is to make this civic center handicap accessible. In 1987, my wife and our four children moved to Brainerd, and one of the things that drew us to the community of Brainerd was the civic center. And that is, it's an asset. It's a great asset to our community. However, members, it is not fully handicap accessible. We need to have there's a second story or a second level of the civic center. While there has been expansion in the civic center, there is no current elevator in the civic center, thereby not making it fully handicap accessible. The testifiers, City Administrator Teresa Goble, along with City Council President Bonnie Cumberland, former mayor as well, and former colleague and educator with me in the Brainerd School District as well, will testify as to the importance of the economic development to our area and the jobs that this civic center provides for our areas. So with that, members, I'm just going to turn it over to them for this testimony.
Mr. Chair, may we begin?
Please proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Ward, and thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. We appreciate the opportunity.
Ma'am, your name for the record, if you would, please.
I'm sorry. Bonnie Cumberland, Brainerd City Council President. May I proceed?
Please proceed.
Thank you. Again, we appreciate the opportunity to address you today. We're here requesting your support of a $150,000 state bonding grant to install an elevator in the Brainerd Area Civic Center in order to make the building more handicapped accessible, allowing guests full access to all parts of the building. Some of the history of the Civic Center. The original Civic Center was built in the mid-1970s by a group of civic-minded individuals who raised over $1 million to build it, and at that time, ADA accommodations were not required. The city acquired ownership of the building in 1996 from the nonprofit association that built the facility, and the city turned over the management of that facility to the Brainerd Area Hockey Association. The Hockey Association built an adjoining second sheet of ice in the 1998-2000 time period. At that time, an elevator shaft was put in as part of the construction project. The city assumed ownership of the adjoining gold medal arena when the construction was completed by the association. The gold medal arena was so named because the Hockey Association had purchased the boards and glass that were used in the Lake Placid 1980 Olympics. The problem is that the Civic Center is not handicapped accessible to individuals who wish to visit the concession stand and or the warm viewing area. Current accommodations being made include going to get a snack order for an arena guest from the concession area, and or carrying the guest up a flight of 18 stairs, 18 stairs on the north side of the arena or another set on the south side of the arena, to get them to the warm viewing area to purchase snacks and to view the ice events. You can imagine this is not only dangerous for everyone involved, but certainly humiliating for the individual who needs to be carried or pulled up the stairs in a wheelchair. In measuring, just as an aside, in measuring the stair area railing to wall, it's about 77 inches wide on an average if two people are carrying someone in a wheelchair, and we allow 36 inches per person and a minimum of 36 inches for the wheelchair, that's 108 inches. It just could not be done. So you can understand why this is certainly a safety issue. The proposed work... The request for the bonding revenue is proposed to fix the situation by providing and installing an elevator in the shaft that was constructed when the gold medal arena was built. The work includes the creation of the elevator equipment room, the completion of the elevator shaft, making this a job-ready project, creation of upper-level ramps, and that's to get to and from the elevator and the adjoining arena areas, and the elevator landing area as a connection between the Civic Center and the Gold Medal Arena.
Thank you, Alderman Cumberland. Mr. Chair, my name is Teresa Goble. I am the City Administrator for the City of Brainerd, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the economic impact of the facilities. Of course, the biggest use of the Brainerd Civic Center is ice events, with the biggest use of all being hockey. The Brainerd Area Hockey Association uses the arena on a daily basis from the months of September through March for their practices, their games, and their tournaments. It is estimated that their programs bring in over 25,000 visitors to the Brainerd area from around a five-state area. Minnesota, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin travel to Brainerd to play in the Civic Center. The Minnesota hockey camps also use the arena on a regular basis. They have 1,500 skaters ages 8 to adult, including many professional hockey players from all over the world. We did have a professional hockey player from Russia who coached in one of the Minnesota hockey camps. Brainerd High School conducts their boys and girls hockey programs at the arena, including all their practices, games, and tournaments. The city youth broomball program activities take place at the arena. Vacationland figure skaters, women's and men's hockey tournaments with teams from the metro area and the Duluth area. Private rentals also to private parties, and several professional sports personalities such as Christy Yamaguchi and Brett Hedigan, just to do a little name dropping. Our arena is home to many community dry floor events, such as concerts. We have over 2,000 people attend a concert. There's an additional conference planned for this coming year. Our Builders Home Show is a three-day event that over 1,000 people attend, involving the setup and takedown of 200 booths of local builders and associated specialty companies. The Chamber of Commerce Marketplace Show, it's a two-day event involving local merchants with over 200 booths displaying services and products, and over 2,000 people attend that. We also have sports RV shows, which are usually two-day weekends, approximately 125 booths and over 1,000 people attending. In addition, the facility also hosts CFX boxing events, a women's expo, and also exploring the possibility of a craft and art show for this spring. These dry floor events bring in over 15,000 people into the area on an annual basis, providing revenue and stability for area restaurants, lodging facilities, and businesses. I did some looking online, and Minnesota research shows that on average, 25% of travelers' spending goes to food and beverages, and nearly 20% goes to both the lodging and the retail sectors. If we count in the local gas stations with the price of gas nowadays, it is a high percentage of revenue that comes into the Brainerd area because of our events.
Mr. Chair, Bonnie Cumberland, again, Brainerd City Council, to wrap this up a little bit. You may be wondering who else may benefit from the project. The events themselves create and retain jobs, such as the setup and takedown of the events, ticket sales, concessionaires, etc. In the short term, the proposed project will create jobs for architects and construction workers in order for the elevator to be installed. Parents of small children and siblings of arena users could certainly benefit from this project, as could grandparents with limited mobility, arthritic, for example, who desire to watch grandchildren compete in sports activities but want to do so in a warmer environment. And not only people in wheelchairs, as mentioned earlier, but people having to use walkers, canes, and crutches on a continuous or temporary basis would certainly benefit by the use of the elevator to get to the concessions and to get to the warming area. The City of Brainerd resources might come to mind for you, and you might have some questions. Because of the tight economic climate, the City of Brainerd does not have funds to do this very necessary project. The loss of local government aid over the last several years has impacted the city to the extent of having to reduce our labor force by 20% over the last 3 years. Capital purchases have been non-existent or very minimal over the same time period. The market value exclusion program has shifted the tax burdens so that increasing the tax levy to cover this necessary cost is very, very difficult, next to impossible. However, the City of Brainerd feels a moral responsibility to move forward with the accessibility improvements to provide to all guests and community members equal and full access. We have received letters from area citizens and an out-of-town guest as well, requesting that this major facility be upgraded to allow all individuals to enjoy this great facility to its fullest. I have three copies of such letters. The Area Hockey Association has had many letters and phone calls and conversations about the need for this to be done. We began a fundraising event in July of 2012. We applied for 9 grants, and there are 7 rejections received to date. And I need to editorially tell you that bricks and mortar are not grant providers' favorite things to fund. So they feel strongly about the need as we do, but they're just less willing to put the money behind something like this. They would rather see a feel-good, touchy-feely kind of project, which this could become. And we've sent out letters to 9 community members, and to date we've received $3,400. We're willing to do fundraising events. They take time and funds to organize and to carry out. The clock is ticking, and our liability is out there, and honestly, our luck may be running out. We understand that several arenas in the state, Duluth, Crookston, Bemidji, Fergus Falls, for example, have received financial help from the state of Minnesota, and that the state's investment per arena was much greater than the requested $150,000 that we're putting before you today. Having said all that, we thank you for your time and for your interest. And if we can provide further information to facilitate your decision, please don't hesitate to call on us. We really and sincerely would appreciate your support of this project. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Warren. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Just in conclusion then, you know, the Brainerd area proper, the city of Brainerd itself proper, for cities over 10,000 in the state of Minnesota, we have the highest unemployment rate in the state of Minnesota going on 6 years. We're number one in the state. We lost that. We lost that distinction. I don't even want to call it a distinction to Bemidji for a couple of months, but we now have gained it back again. We have high unemployment. We have high poverty, higher poverty level than the state average. We have high rental. Number of rental homes in our area. Members, every job that we can create in District 10A is critical and key to the constituents of my district, and also to our economic survival in central Minnesota. So this would greatly help a great asset that we have in our community, along with, as we talk about jobs and economic development, along with helping improve that as well for our area. So we'd be glad to stand for any questions, Mr. Chair, and thank you for listening to us today, and thank you for what I know is going to be your support of this project.
Thank you, Representative Ward. I do believe Representative Kiefer has a question.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. In the project, is there anything else besides the elevator that you're planning to use the money for?
Right now, we're only planning on using the money for the elevator. We have an estimate from a local architect that that's what it would cost to do the elevator process. Mm-hmm. The bathrooms that are in there are handicapped accessible right now, or at least have the ability to get to a accessible bathroom. So the major project, the major thing that needs to be done is the elevator installed to get to that second level.
Okay. Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Okay, this is a little bit different, and maybe I can direct it more to Representative Ward, but you mentioned the unemployment rate's really high, and I've been up there. It's a beautiful area. I think you depend a lot on tourism and hotels and hospitality, and I know that has hurt because of the economy and people can't afford vacation. That's kind of an extra. Can we think outside the box and find ways that we're going to be able to promote longer-term jobs? I'm not saying I oppose this particular project, but for the long term for your area's vitality, How, for example, will tax increases affect the cost of attracting more people to your area for vacation? Thank you.
Representative Ward.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiefer, thank you for that question. That's a good question. And we are working on every possible economic development tool that we can in the Brainerd area. We've used some MIF funding. We've used some TIF funding or some TIF program. We have Job Z, had Job Z up there. We have a Brainerd Lakes Area Economic Development Corporation and a chamber that is actively pursuing long-term employment for our citizens. While the tourism industry is critical to our area, we also know, you know, if you look back, members, just a little bit of history, and I won't take a lot of time. We used to have a state hospital in Brainerd area that had hundreds and hundreds of good-paying living wage benefit jobs that we lost in the Brainerd state area. We were a railroad town. I come from Proctor, which was a railroad town. We were a railroad town in Brainerd. That has taken a significant decrease. We had a paper mill, potlatch, and a paper product industry up there that was significant for our area, and we've lost that. So we are hanging on by a string. We're doing everything we can. I actually have, and it's a great question. Again, Representative Kiefer, I actually have I'm carrying a new deep project. It's a jobs training tax credit, job training tax credit for Greater Minnesota bill. That is a great new program. I'll probably be talking to you about that in the future. That is also going to help a lot of communities in Greater Minnesota with job growth. So we're doing everything we can to spur the job growth and economic development for our area.
Representative Kiefer, go ahead.
Well, maybe the council lady would answer this as well, but one thing, and you can tell me offline or whatever unless you know the answer, why did the paper company leave? And then I'm all for growing jobs, too, and I'm looking at more on making sure that we keep our costs low for you guys so that you can attract people to the area. Thank you.
And Ms. Noble?
Cumberland.
I'm sorry.
That's
Ms. Cumberland.
Mr. Chair, thank you for recognizing. There's a whole lot of question involved in that question. The paper company had actually secured some new equipment in the city of Brainerd a year or two ago and was fully planning on expanding. They had a capital venture type person come in at their upper management, decided that that wasn't the kind of paper that was going to be produced any longer and wanted to switch to tissue type paper. And by doing that, that would close up the plant that's currently in Brainerd because they're not set up to do the change in product that the upper management had decided that they wanted to go with. So, and prior to that, there have been other situations too. Other plants have tried to succeed. Partly, there's a confusion about the city of Brainerd and the Brainerd Lakes area, the city of Baxter, for example, and that whole Crow Wing County area. Where you've seen a lot of growth has been in the city of Baxter because basically the city of Brainerd is landlocked, and so the big box retail stores are going in Baxter. But there are a lot of good paying jobs in Brainerd through the school district and through government and that sort
healthcare.
Of thing. And healthcare also. But now healthcare is expanding out to Baxter as well. So we're going through, as of last night, we had our first strategic planning session as far as mission, vision, and goals for the city for the next 3 to 5 years. And a lot of this, a lot of the answers you're asking today, we could probably come back and answer after we finish that strategic planning session. But we're putting our dollars at this point into the marketing and the expansion of manufacturing, good-paying jobs in the city of Brainerd, and to continue to keep the long-standing businesses that have been in the city of Brainerd for decades. Somebody asked me once, if I may say this, when are you going to bring in a company that's going to provide 25 new jobs to the city of Brainerd? And my response was, I don't know that I have the power to do that, but I do have the power to keep 25 businesses in Brainerd and encourage each one of them to add one employee to their business. And I think we would accomplish something similar.
I'm going to move along here. We've got a couple other questions. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, when was the Civic Center originally built?
The Civic Center was originally built in the 70s. I don't know that I have a specific date in the 1970s, but mid-1970s, so 75, 76, somewhere in that area.
Thank you, Ms. Cumberland. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're all fairly familiar with the ADA requirements for a building of this size. I'm a bit surprised that this would not have been taken into consideration well before this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like if one of the testifiers would be willing to speak to that, Mr. Chair.
Please proceed, Ms. Cumberland.
Okay. My understanding is in the mid-70s with the private group that built this, ADA accommodations were not necessarily required at that time, but by 1998-2000, the elevator shaft was put in, but because this, again, was a group of private investors at the time, that they weren't held accountable to follow the ADA requirements. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but that's what I've been told.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Albright?
Who owns the Civic Center now, then? Is it a private public partnership, or is it owned exclusively by the municipality?
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Global?
The Civic Center is owned by the City of Brainerd. We lease management of the arenas to the Brainerd Area Hockey Association. We have a management agreement that they actually do the management of the facility.
You have another question?
Just one follow-up.
Please, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is it your estimation that to come full circle and conform with ADA, this is the only requirement that you'll need? Mr. Chair?
Yes, that is our understanding. Yes, that is my understanding. That would make us full compliant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We have one final question here, hopefully. Representative Fabian, don't mean to put you on the spot there, my friend, but we got another bill we got to hear. So.
Okay, we're not stifling debate now.
No, absolutely
thank
not.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You have all the time you need, at least 3 minutes.
Thank you. Yeah. first of all, thank you for being here. I have to say I have a lot of good memories in the gold medal arena. My sons all played hockey in Roseau, so you can take out of that whatever you want.
Fabian, we know exactly what.
Yeah. And, of course, the gold medal arena, Neil Broughton is from Roseau. He was a member of the 1980 team, and he was a former student of mine, so I was one of his coaches. But anyway, Mr. Chair, if I may, for the freshmen especially, we're talking about bonding on this project, and $150,000. Just so that people understand the process, if the bid comes in higher or lower from the $150,000 that's bonded out, just so that people know how does either the money come back, or
Mr. Chair, many projects. Representative Fabian, good question. Many projects, have a price tag to start with,
yep,
and come in higher or lower. And if it comes in lower, that money sits until it is then reappropriated, yep, at a later date.
Yep. Thank you.
Or Mr. Chair, yep, or canceled and reappropriated at a later date.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Ward. And just so that the freshmen particularly knew that, I'm curious to know about... you say that you have the Youth Hockey Association has a management contract. Does the city get any revenue from the management agreement? And also, what participation does the school have in that?
Thank you, Representative Fabian and Ms. Goble.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative, the Brainerd Area Hockey Association pays a $200 per year management fee to the city. That's what we charge them for the contract. The school district pays rent of the ice to the Hockey Association.
Okay. And then if
I may... Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I'm just curious, in terms of, if we're using state money to do this, what kind of, I'll say, long-term positive effect does this project have for the state of Minnesota?
For the state... Yeah, Mr. Chair?
Yep.
For the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair and Representative Fabian, again, I think it would have the same effect as any bonding project that comes forward, whether it be a civic center in Rochester or St. Cloud or Duluth or Roseau or wherever it is, Mr. Chair, Representative Fabian. We have many, many valuable assets in the state of Minnesota that have used bonding money. Asset preservation for our college campuses is significant to the state of Minnesota. So, I think we can assure that this building will be there long term, handicap accessible to all users, both visitors and citizens in the Brainerd Lakes area, for a long time to come. So, it'd be an asset that has been used over the past years and will be used for multiple years ahead of us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I have one other question offline, too, John. Okay.
Very good. We'll hold this over for possible inclusion. Representative Ward and Ms. Goldman, Ms. Cumberland, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay.
sure asked for it.
Really? Mm.
Should we pass out of here without opening the box?
No.
Can she not make it work? Can that kill somebody? In theory.
You know, seems how we have a lull here. For those that didn't make it to the first 5 or 10 minutes of the committee hearing, I'll repeat that the chair of the bonding committee and I have had a couple of conversations. We are still in conversation. We will be holding all the bonding bills that are heard in committee, in the jobs committee, until the chair of the bonding committee signals that she wants to hear them this year, and then we will move them all. We'll rate them prior to first deadline or right after first deadline, depending on how the rules committee says we have, when the rules committee says we have to make sure they're moved by, and we will rank them in committee one way or the other. You may throw darts at a board, put stickers on a board. No, just kidding. That's an old inside baseball here. But we'll all work on that and figure out how we're going to rate them and then move them on as the bonding chair and says she's ready for them. So, do we have any other bills in front? Oh, we have one more.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I wonder if Representative Norton would want to move my bill. It would be great if she would.
Mr. Chair, I'd love to move House File 185 before the committee.
Thank you. Representative Liebling, your House File 185 is before the committee. Maybe you'll have a few words to describe it, and then you might want to call on your, members, wouldn't it be fun if the member just did all the talking here? Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Representative Liebling, if you could just explain your bill and then turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You don't think I talk enough? Is that what you're telling me? We could fix that.
I'd love to hear you talk.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, thanks for hearing this bill. This is House File 185 is a request for $37 million in state bonding dollars to expand and renovate the convention facilities at the Mayo Civic Center in Rochester. I do want you to know that this project's been around for a long time. Back in 2008, the state gave us $3.5 million in bonding for the planning of this expansion and renovation. And normally, when you get those kind of planning dollars, you sort of expect that the next time you're going to come back and the project is going to be funded. Well, we've had the project funded, we think, a couple of times, and it's fallen under the veto acts one way or another. So this has gone through. We have explained many times to the legislature the really important economic value of this project. And I think even Representative Ward, who is up with his bill, or one of his testifiers, mentioned that this, of course, we believe that bonding generally has a lot of value for the state. But this project in particular draws people to come to conferences, or should, many of whom are from outside Minnesota and even outside the country. So we don't view ourselves as competing with other civic centers around the state. This is really in a different class, and we believe that it has a certain synergy with Mayo Clinic, the state's largest private employer in Rochester, because when you bring people for these kinds of high-tech conferences, they're seeing what Rochester has to offer. They're interacting with people from Mayo and other high-tech businesses in that part of the state, maybe from around the state, and there's a synergy that happens, and people may decide to come to Minnesota to start their business, to expand here, and so on. All very important things. So you're going to hear from my testifiers that we believe that this is really important to capture a lot of these kinds of high-tech conferences in healthcare, medical technology, bioscience, etc. And in addition, this will bring a lot of new jobs, of course, during the construction phase, but also after that. It'll bring new visitors, new business, and new dollars to Minnesota. So I have with me today Ardell Brady, who's the mayor of Rochester, who's going to speak about this a little bit more. And then I have Brad Jones, who's the from the Rochester Convention and Visitor Bureau, and he's the executive director of that body. So they'll give you some more details, and will be able to help me answer the questions.
Thank you, Representative Lehman. Which one of your testifiers would like to go first?
Mayor Brady.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very
much.
Good
to see you again.
Chair and members, I am Ardell Brady, Mayor of the City of Rochester, Minnesota. Thanks, Representative Liebling, for being with us today and helping with this project. We're asking for $37 million in bonding support for an expanded and an updated Mayo Civic Convention Center, with the City of Rochester prepared and committed to provide a 50% plus match, probably around $42 million. This project will benefit not only our region, but indeed the entire state of Minnesota. The Mayo Convention Center will attract in-state conferences and conventions, but more importantly, out-of-state conferences, many associated with Mayo Clinic. And I'll let Brad Jones with our Convention Bureau elaborate on that later. But the convention connection with the Mayo Clinic and the Destination Medical Center initiative is critical. The connection is like a hand-in-glove connection, or like the 1950s song by Frank Sinatra, Love and Marriage, go together like a horse and carriage, and to separate them is an illusion. The project will provide over 700 jobs due to construction over 2 years, and hundreds of new permanent jobs in our hospitality sector. Our hotels experience full or near full occupancy during the week with Mayo Clinic patients and visitors, but drop into the 20% level on weekends when conferences and conventions would be very beneficial. Again, jobs and out-of-state dollars and tax revenue. The plans and specifications for the Mayo Convention Center project were completed in 2010 and are ready for bids following approval of state funding. That will provide a great opportunity to quickly put construction workers to work. The economic impact of this project is $372 million over 10 years. Not a bad investment. Our current Mayo Civic Center and the expanded Mayo Convention Center, with an additional 188,000 square feet, will be heated and air-conditioned by our Olmsted County waste-to-energy facility. We have citywide support from Mayo Clinic, the hospitality industry, and our Rochester Area Chamber of Commerce. We're shovel-ready to provide a winner for the state of Minnesota and certainly for all of our workers. Now I'll have Brad Jones to complete our testimony.
Welcome. Thank you, Mayor. Chairman, members, thank you. Brad Jones, Executive Director of the Rochester Convention and Visitors Bureau. You all have a handout provided in your packet today that explains the project. The Convention Center addition to the Mayo Civic Center would be just over 180,000 square feet, which would almost double the size of what the current Civic Center is today. I'd like to take a minute just to explain the difference between a Civic Center and a Convention Center. We have today a Civic Center which hosts about 350 events a year. Anything from chamber expos to trade shows to home shows. The difference between a Civic Center and a Convention Center is this. When we bring meeting planners in to take a look at the City of Rochester, they tell us we have ample hotel space. We have almost 5,500 hotel rooms. They tell us we have wonderful dining. We have great skyway connection to the facility. We have, in essence, everything needed to host their event, except for a convention center. A convention center is carpeted, has high ceilings, has state-of-the-art AV, basically plug-and-play technology, similar to that of the River Center or the Minneapolis Convention Center. We desperately need this space to bring these events to town, events that we've talked to. On the other hand, we also need this space to remain competitive. You'll see in your packet, we've provided a list of many events that we've lost over the years. They used to come to the Mayo Civic Center, and now they've taken their business elsewhere because we've not kept up with what they need. This lost business alone represents 168,000 people and a lost direct spending of $85 million to Rochester. This also represents something very alarming that you should be concerned with, loss of $62 million to the state of Minnesota. These events are not going to other Minnesota cities. They're going to Milwaukee, they're going to Chicago, they're going to Madison. On the reverse side of that sheet, you'll see a list of 45 prime opportunities. And I could easily add a zero to the end of that number and provide a target market of conference opportunities that we could go after. Again, we've spoken to many of these planners. They would love to come to Minnesota. They would love to meet in Rochester, but we just don't have a convention center for them to meet. This segment of our industry is still growing. It's very vibrant, and it's growing elsewhere. If you look at the city of Cleveland, they're investing over $500 million into a medical mart and convention center as part of their destination medical efforts. If you look at Boston, if you look at San Diego, if you look at Houston, they're all investing to go after this market segment of meetings and conventions. We also need to do the same thing. Our price tag is a little bit smaller. We can add on to what we have, and we can create a product that right out of the box will be very competitive. The other great thing is we can walk across the street and meet with many medical professionals, several of which serve on board of directors of national associations. In fact, many hold officer positions. And these positions are instrumental in drawing that business to your city. You need a local influencer, whether it be corporate or nonprofit, to bring these events. And we're well poised to rely on those relationships to bring those events and bring us into a rotation to bring that business to Minnesota. We talked about the hospitality industry. It's the second largest industry in the city of Rochester. We have a little more than 12,000 full-time employees in our hospitality industry. These folks care for the nearly 3 million visitors that come to Rochester every year. The economic value is huge, but I will tell you there's a lost opportunity there for people that aren't fully employed. In fact, many of these folks rely on a meeting, a convention, or event on whether they work a full work week. Today, if we don't have one of these, they don't work. They get temporarily laid off for the weekend or for a four-day period when nobody's in town. Our occupancy swing is huge. As the mayor mentioned, we can go from 75% on Monday to 20% on Friday. We need to stabilize this. We have the infrastructure. We just need the convention center. You can leaf through the expansion plans. It's essentially a two-story convention. As I said, it would be connected to downtown via the Skyway. We have parking already there. We have the connections to dining, to our hotels. So it's kind of a plug-and-play facility once we can get in the ground. I will leave it to any questions that you may have. It's a great project. We appreciate you hearing it once again, and we can answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Newman, I know, is in the background there. Is he just there for, like, the call a friend? Or the? All right. Are there any questions, members? Mr. Ugham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the mayor, Your Honor. You mentioned, you know, the city, and I'm questioning what type of assistance is the city providing in this? Are you providing any infrastructure monies or anything like that for this particular project?
Mayor Adell.
The plan, excuse me, thank you very much. The plan is for us to collect some of the lodging tax, an increase in the lodging tax that we currently have, to fund our portion of that.
Okay.
And Bradley, I don't know if you have anything more to add to that.
Mr. Chair? Like what portion would that be? Are you providing some road and sewer and water infrastructure, or is that going to come out of the bonding money?
Mr. Jones?
Yes, thanks for the question, Mr. Chair. Representative, the city is stepping up to the table for 50% of the project cost.
Okay.
That was the $42 million, excuse me.
Thank you. That answered my question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, that before I go any farther, before I call up Ms. Norton, so the total cost of the project is $42 million? Mr. Jones?
Mr. Chair, members, it's $81 million project in total.
Thank you. Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I thought for some of the folks, maybe you said it, but just for clarification, this body has already paid for some planning dollars.
Yes.
And so if you could just clarify that, we got some planning dollars before the planning has been done and sort of redone, and now we're waiting for funding for the final project, as was anticipated a couple years ago.
So, Representative Norton, who did you want to clarify that? Any
the amount, please. I didn't state the amount, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members, that was $3.5 million in planning, and we have all the plans done. There's a little bit of a worry that there's a shelf life on some of those. We really need to be in the ground here shortly for all those to still be pertinent. Of course, blueprints and things have a shelf life to them. So we've had those accomplished since, I think, 2010.
Correct.
Representative Albright?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, my first question is actually for Representative Norton, Mr. Chair.
Have at it. This is relatively free here.
Representative Norton, I know that you're sponsoring a bill with regard to the expansion of the Mayo Clinic. And I'm just wondering if there's any duplication to effort or the work being done between this in coordination with that larger project.
Mr. Chair and Representative Albright, thank you very much for the question. Actually, it's complimentary. There will not be duplication on this particular project. This was in the works before, and Destination Medical Center has kind of been in development as this was being planned, and in fact, we thought this would be long done, and it's just kind of gotten stalled in the political process we have in this body. So, no, it's not a duplication, but it definitely will complement the work and the project that I'll be bringing to you on Thursday.
Sure.
Hello? Sure.
For the mayor and actually for Mr. Jones, on the sheet that you provided to us with regard to lost business versus potential business, obviously as I'm looking at this list on the expansion of the Mayo Civic Center and what the opportunities lie before you, it's within your wheelhouse because obviously 99% of them are medical associations. If you flip the page, it would look as if you're, pardon the expression, stacking the deck against yourself, not going within your wheelhouse, but you're going outside the purview of what typically would be the, you know, germane to your town. So I'm just wondering if there's any complement or consideration of those two sheets with regard to the expansion of the Civic Center.
Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, it's a good observation, and it shows today the need, based upon the fact that we can't host these medical bioscience research type conventions at our civic center. It's not the level of finish that they require. So some of the lost business you'll see is military in nature, could be agriculture in nature. Whereas what we would really like to do is focus on being who we are, solidifying our place in the global economy, and as Representative Norton said, this is complementary. And that's really the way it has to be. That's where these types of events want to be, is in a place that gets them, that has professionals around them. You know, we also have a challenge of finding the workforce of the future. And this is a great way to attract these medical professionals to our city, to see Minnesota, to see Rochester, in a way to get them there without really applying for a job yet.
you know, getting them into the culture, if you will. So the more of these that we can host, the more research opportunities may come along, the more collaborative opportunities may come along, and consequently, hopefully, more business could relocate to Minnesota. So really what you're seeing there is a product of an older civic center and what we could be as a modern convention center. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
No, go ahead, Mayor.
If I could just add to that, some of these we could do two at the same time with the expansion of the civic the convention center, where now I think there are times where we have a convention in there and somebody else would like those same dates, but we can't handle them. So I think Bradley knows this, that we would at times be able, with some of the size of these, be able to do two at the same time because we have the hotel rooms available as well.
And
thank
just
you.
As an aside, I was out at the Cleveland Clinic for a conference, not last year, the year before, and there was three or four different substantial meetings going on at the same time at the clinic in their auditoriums. And I did say auditoriums, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. And you'll see that this facility is designed to host two to the capacity of about 1,100 apiece. They would have the ability to host two at the same time. So,
Representative Metz, did you have a question?
More of just a statement in support of the project. As a former Rochester resident, I grew up in town and have
so
seen...
Are you a true Iron Ranger?
Oh, I'm a true Iron Ranger. Let's not argue that. But overall, I got to say, from watching the community that I grew up in to driving back there now, it's very impressive what our not only state but local leadership has done growing that community and its economic impact on the state. And I would say if we watch how their past growth was, we can assume on future projects that it will be invested wisely and continue to grow.
On Thursday, you'll get all sorts of numbers and charts. Representative Clark, do you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just noticed you have Minnesota Sustainable Building Guidelines will be utilized to significantly reduce the energy use, so on impact on the environment. Two questions. Are you doing, I know you want to host the solar convention and a few other things. What kind of, energy innovations are you doing? That's one question. The other one is, are you still going to be putting down that rug that you're going to put down and roll up again?
Mr. Newman, do you want to?
Mr. Newman, did you hear the question?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chair.
Would you like to repeat it? I think it's hard to hear.
I think I've heard it. Mr. Chair, I think I've heard the question. Representative Clark, we've done numerous energy improvements at the Civic Center already, and as they mentioned, it will also be using the waste energy facility for its heat and its cooling. It's the largest user of that in the city of Rochester. The new building will be all up to code. I think the carpet you're referring to is when we worked in the exhibit hall currently. When we have a convention in there, we have to put carpet in. And some drapery to make it look like a convention facility. That at least is my assumption of what your question is referring to. And to some extent, if we have this new facility, we won't have to do that as much, but if we have two conventions going on, we will still be using carpet that will have to roll out and drapery in the exhibit hall because it's not set up for conventions currently.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
In terms of the energy conservation, you said the waste energy, but what about, any other kinds of energy savings that you might be doing? You have the opportunity when you're doing new construction to do, the work in the ground, the heat exchangers and solar.
Mike, it's really hard. I can't hardly
hear you. I'm just wondering if you're using any opportunities to do solar, heat exchangers, any of those things. Is that part of this? I just don't know.
Mr. Chair, yeah. Representative Clark, we did over $1 million of energy improvements in the building just a number of years ago, so there is not a lot more that we're doing other than in the addition that we're putting in, we're going to make that as efficient as possible. We won't have geothermal in this, but we have looked for wherever we could mirroring a new structure, basically, to an older structure to do as much energy improvements as we can. I would say that, you know, the city also has had a big commitment, and our mayor particularly, to green buildings. We have a LEED certified building in our BioSense business center building. It's something we look at all the time.
Representative Kiefer, do you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We talked about competition and competing for places, and you mentioned some cities, Cleveland, San Diego. Is there any chance we're going to be competing within our own state? For example, we're getting a new stadium that might be competing for events. I'm always hesitant to go into a big project. Wow, it's great, and we're all happy about it. But then there's something down the road. Oops, something didn't work, and we're going to have an unintended consequence. Thanks.
Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, that's a great question. This is not a trading dollars project. We are already in the convention marketplace. We host several state conventions already on a rotational basis that go to Duluth, that go to St. Cloud, that go to St. Paul. That's not why we're building this project. We would need to some investment to stay current, to continue to host those events. But the reason that we're going with the convention center, we can do those in our civic center. The reason we're going to the convention center is this new business, which is, as the representative put it, in our wheelhouse. So we're really not looking at those state conventions as the driver for this. Those are going to stay in the state. They're going to rotate around, and we all play fair, and we all take our turn to host those. This is really for national, international, and some regional events that that would come and create this economic impact. We would understandably probably open the door for a few additional state conventions, like maybe MEA and those that were not big enough for today. But I could probably count those on one hand.
Representative Liebling, did you have something to add?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kiefer. I think it's important to keep in mind that we have Mayo Clinic, which itself is really competing in a market that's not within the state so much. I mean, I'm sure a little bit of it is, but really the competition is coming from around the country and even internationally. And so this project is sort of positioned to augment that and to have that synergy with Mayo Clinic and those people that are coming in from other places. So we really don't view it as being in competition with other civic centers or convention centers around the state.
Representative Kiefer.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Was there any proposals for a local increase in sales tax for this project?
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kiefer. There was, and it was actually, I think, enacted, and that's being repealed this year. We have a bill to replace that with this increase in the lodging tax, which all of us, I think, feel, and our hospitality industry feels, is a better way to fund this. So there was going to be an increase in the food and beverage tax. It hasn't been, I think it was enacted, but it hasn't been implemented, and this will replace that.
Representative
Fabian. To that point, Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, does it blink off then at some point, the increased tax?
Mr. Chair and Representative Fabian, we're not hearing that bill today. It's a separate bill, and I think that'll be heard. I don't know if that'll come to this committee or to the tax committee, but if you look at lodging taxes around the state, I don't think that the lodging taxes are pretty much, I think, in control of the cities that have them enacted. I think that's, and I can't give you the exact information today. I didn't come prepared with that. Maybe Mr. Jones has that.
If I may, I believe in 2010, the legislation was to implement a 1% food and beverage tax and add 1% to our lodging tax. That was contingent upon bonding approval.
So those taxes have not went into action until we were to get the project done. The community and legislative leaders think that the doing it through the lodging tax instead of the food and beverage tax is the way to go. So that bill would be repealing the food and beverage tax and adding to the lodging tax instead.
So long as it is not on tax policy, that's just fine. Go right ahead, Representative Fabian.
Thank you. Just for clarification, then, what do you anticipate that you'd be asking for in that legislation if you're going to increase your lodging tax to 3% to cover the costs of this project? I'm assuming your $42 million share. Are you going to be asking for a blink off at the end when you reach the $42 million? That's what I'm getting at.
Mr. Chair?
Do you have control of what your legislators and governor and mayors will do 20 years down the road? Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, of course, we don't. And the bill is, and I'm carrying that bill as well. And currently, as written, there is no blink-off, although there is a authorization for only a certain amount of bonds that can be supported by the tax.
Thank you. Representative Ward had a question.
Well, Chair, thank you. And just a comment on maybe I'm not understanding the lodging tax as I understand it, because the lodging tax itself was put in place by local units of government to promote those dollars used for promotion and marketing of an area, not for building and sidewalks and it's for the purposes for marketing of an area, and allowing whatever area implements it, whatever city implements it, to further use those dollars to get business, get events into their specific area. So once it's put on, Mr. Chair, by a city council and mayor, it's there until they decide not to, is my understanding. And I, again, emphasize the fact that it's for marketing purposes. I just wanted, as I understand it.
Representative Ward, quite regularly in this state and in almost every state in the nation, cities, counties, states put lodging and tax, a sales tax of some sort on car rentals or meals or lodging or whatever, and they pay for convention centers, they pay for airports, they pay for toll roads, they pay for one thing or another. It's a pretty standard method of municipal financing. Sometimes they even finance a football stadium if things go bad. I see no other questions. I will lay this bill over for the conversation with the bonding chair. I hope I have 5 or 6, 10 or 15 more. Thank you so very much.
Thank
I appreciate you,
you
coming
you,
up today.
Chair and members. Thank you.
Members, before we go, I just want to tell you that we have on Thursday we have an autism bill, a bill reauthorizing or, I don't know, maybe doing something to the IRRB, and then we have the Destination Medical Center. So, Representative Norton, you have that particular bill, the Destination Medical Center, if I remember right?
Yes.
Could you electronically send a one-pager to the members of the committee so they can get kind of an idea of what it is? And maybe Rochester has its all its fancy stuff online, and you can send that along so people can be ready for a lively conversation about an interesting project. With that, members, we stand adjourned.